Hi, I'm Abby Hall, and today we're going to be discussing the role that the government plays in what private media reports. Now, it isn't particularly difficult to see how state-owned or state-controlled media is influenced by the government. If the government owns a particular media outlet, for example, then it can directly impact news coverage in several different ways. Not only can it control what's reported, but it can control the content of these reports, and it can also have an impact on how these stories are presented. In theory, then, it seems that private media should eliminate any of this government bias. After all, if media firms are privately owned, or at least if they aren't owned by the government, then it seems that they should be able to report what they want and how they would like to report it. But is it possible that government is still influencing private media reporting? This is the question that we're going to look at today. In particular, we're going to look at a study that examined media and the reporting of human rights abuses in the United States during the Cold War. In order to answer this question, researchers looked at the reporting of human rights abuses during the Cold War in the United States. In particular, they looked to see if human rights abuses were reported differently by the U.S. State Department and Amnesty International. Now, in case you're not familiar, Amnesty International is an independent firm based out of the United Kingdom which examines global human rights issues. So what they were looking for is to see if the two entities reported a substantially different quantity of human rights abuse stories. In particular, they were looking to see about human rights abuse stories in regard to U.S. allies. If they reported something that was significantly different, then it could be indicative of a bias in U.S. reporting. After looking at this aspect of reporting, researchers looked to see how human rights abuses by ally countries were reported in 6 commercial U.S. newspapers. So before we get into the results of the paper, let's discuss for a second what their thinking could be driving a potential disconnect between the reports by the U.S. State Department and Amnesty International. Well, researchers hypothesize that the U.S. State Department and U.S. media may underreport human rights abuse in countries which were allied with the United States during the Cold War. They think that this could have been done for strategic reasons. First, foreign governments don't really like negative coverage of their countries, so favorable reports from the U.S. may induce more cooperation on certain foreign policy issues. Second, U.S. politicians may be more likely to support countries with better human rights records. So to test their theory, researchers first grouped countries by their relationship to the U.S. during the Cold War. To do this, they arbitrarily defined an ally based on U.N. voting patterns. This is indicated by the map on your screen. Those countries which were considered to be allies are those which are colored in blue, while non-allied countries are colored in yellow. So now, with this map in mind, let's take a look and see what trends they found in terms of underreporting. So by looking at these two maps, we can see that there is definitely some overlap here between countries which were U.S. allies and a smaller number of human rights abuse reports by the U.S. State Department and commercial newspapers. Now those countries which are colored in red, too, got Turkey right here and Saudi Arabia. Those countries were what researchers termed highly underreported. That is, the U.S. State Department and commercial newspapers reported many fewer abuses than Amnesty International. Countries in dark orange, there are quite a few here, but we see that Egypt is one, Brazil is another, Somalia is a third, and also Pakistan over here. Those countries represented a moderate level of underreporting. The countries in darker yellow were low underreporting, and countries in light yellow indicates that there was no underreporting by the State Department. So now we've seen visually by the map kind of what they found, but let's talk a little bit more in detail. Well, as is indicated by the graphic on the last two slides, they found that alliance with the U.S. was correlated with a decrease in human rights abuse reports by the U.S. media, both newspapers and the State Department. Further, they found no correlation in allegiance with the U.S. and human rights abuse reports by Amnesty International. Moreover, they also observed an interesting relationship between U.S. media reports and membership on the UN Human Rights Council. Specifically, they found that council membership decreased reports on human rights abuse significantly, and that this correlation actually disappeared when the Cold War ended. Now, the authors of this study acknowledge that their work may have some significant empirical challenges. They also note that their results may in fact not be driven by U.S. policy objectives, but instead by the consumers of American media. That is, American citizens may prefer that countries that are allied with the U.S. have favorable human rights policies. Now, if you think about it, this makes sense. If country X is assisting the U.S. in enacting foreign policies, in preventing the spread of communism, in helping the U.S. in its strategic objectives, then people probably don't want to think that country X is engaging in gross human rights abuses. Now, the authors also posit that consumers of American media may also derive some satisfaction from hearing the government's version of events. Now, even though this study may have some issues, it does raise some very interesting questions. Mainly, how does government affect private media? It is reasonable to assume that privately owned, or at least non-government owned, firms would report less biased information than firms owned by the state. What is interesting is the idea that the government may still influence what gets reported by undertaking particular policies. Now, personally, I also find the idea they present toward the end of the paper, that consumer preferences may drive reports on such delicate issues like human rights abuse, to be a particularly striking point. And I can't really think of too many places where this topic specifically has been addressed, and I'd be very interested to see further research. To find out more information about government influence on the media, you should check out some of the other videos in this unit. The specific paper I used for this video is called Watchdog or Lapdog, Media and the U.S. Government, and it's available at the link listed on your screen. Thanks for listening!